Encore by Nan Woodhouse. With Julia McKenzie as Sheila and Timothy West as Henry.
Tall,
close.
No suppose about it.
Different medium, though.
So?
We'd be less popular.
Says who?
I'm not convinced.
You're not thinking. You have this irritating habit of reacting verbally before you've considered. It throws the onus onto the other person, making them do twice the work.
It's called giving someone enough rope to hang himself.
Whose side are you on?
Not yours. We've only just set eyes on each other again, and you're criticizing me already.
Fontaine and New Rife.
Why don't you just say Abbott and Costello and be done with it?
Because I'm being serious.
You can't be.
How much do you want to work, Sheila?
As you know, Henry, a lot.
That's what I thought when I saw you just now, gazing bleakly at the photographs in the National Foyer.
Bleakly? No more bleakly than you. You looked as though you were on a different planet.
Because I'd spotted you and it came to me in a blinding flash. I'd been thinking of a one-man show, but this will be so much better.
Oh, will it?
We want to work. We know each other's work. What could be more natural?
Highly unnatural, I'd call it. Besides, what would we do?
Scenes from the greats. Contemporary stuff, too. New work.
A selection, in other words. A programme.
Yes.
I don't know.
Let's give it a try.
You've got a nerve.
Oh, come on, Sheila. What do you say?
Such effort. Probably for nothing.
What else are we doing?
If I could believe it would work.
Let's try.
How would we start?
Collect items. Scenes, book extracts, whatever. Bring them together, read them, toss them about.
Where's the money coming from?
We need very little.
What about venues, royalties, publicity?
We can keep royalties to the minimum with careful selection.
Bango your new writers.
Not necessarily. We must just get the balance right. As for the venue, what's wrong with my flat?
I like your flat.
Is it my fault you abandoned it?
The short answer to that is yes.
I don't think so.
In any case, as a venue, it would be no good at all. No space.
There's as much space as many a fringe theatre, many a pub. We could do it somewhere else if it proved a success.
Hmm. Publicity?
Word of mouth. The only reliable sort. Oh,
and who's going to put it about? We have to be seen first.
We'll do a taster for our friends and useful people.
Do you know any useful people?
I thought you were going to ask me if I had any friends.
I know the answer to that one.
Oh, very nice. Let's not stand here getting cold. Let's walk.
I'm not going in your direction.
Cup of tea?
No, thanks.
Oh, Sheila.
You mentioned Torval and Dean, Fontaine and Urieff. Part of their appeal was the charisma, the attraction of the two, the mystery of the relationship, the buzz.
And?
We haven't any buzz.
In fact, Torval and Dean are married to two other people.
Urieff was quoted as saying that the Royal Ballet used him as a tea cosy to warm Fontaine's pot. But that didn't prevent them coming across as a wonderful couple. We can't offer that magic. We can't bear each other.
You speak for yourself.
I am.
I think we have a kind of spark.
That's me. I'm cross.
Why? Why are you cross?
I don't know. Disappointment, I think. Yes, that's probably it.
Then let's do something about it. Think of the material. Think of the fun we'd have. We could choose all those things we've always wanted to play and were never given the opportunity. It'd be like radio. You can play a tall, slim blonde.
Why did you say slim?
I don't know.
I'm small. I have brown hair, but I'm not...
Not fat. No, quite job gently rounded.
Besides, we shan't be on radio. People will see us. We'll be a laughing stock.
You're putting every reachable spanner in the works. You know what I mean. We can cast ourselves in our favourite parts. Simple as that.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster. The art of coarse acting.
We're not amateurs, Sheila. We have taste and years of experience.
I don't know.
Let me walk you to the tube and we can go on with this.
I'm going on the bus.
Your bus, then.
Out of your way. Besides, I have some shopping to do.
Can I help?
No.
Well, it's been good to see you again.
Has it?
You will think about it. Just a couple of weeks to accumulate material, look at it, try a few scenes. That's all I'm suggesting.
And if I say no way, that's the last I'll hear of it?
I'll take the idea to someone else.
Who else?
Does it matter?
Who else would you take it? Of course, it's none of my business, but if I were you, I'd try a tall, slim blonde.
You're not taking this seriously.
A fortnight. I'll give it that. Then I'm off to fresh fields and pastures new, on the proverbial bike. I'm thoroughly sick of sitting round waiting for the phone to ring. 10 years ago, directors were beating a path to my door.
I know.
I know half a dozen actors who were once sought after, who sit at home waiting for the phone to ring. Big names. I mentioned one of them to the director of my last play. Him, she said. We couldn't ask for him. He'd be too busy, too starry, too expensive.
I know.
You're beginning to sound like Sybil Fawlty.
I know.
Oh, I'm off.
Well, Friday morning, shall we say. 10:30. Bring as much stuff as you can.
Friday?
Yes, love. Please.
I very much doubt it.
Lady Teazle, Lady Teazle, I'll not bear it.
Sir Peter, you may bear it or not as you please, but I ought to have my own way in everything, and what's more, I will too. This doesn't feel right.
A practice skirt and a fan will make all the difference.
Oh, are we going to be cluttered? I thought we should keep it simple. Just us and the text, otherwise potential chaos. Dropped scripts, dropped fans, etc.
I'll try it again.
Where was I?
Your own way in everything.
Oh, yes. What? Though I was educated in the country, I know very well that women of fashion in London are accountable to nobody after they are married.
Very well, ma'am, very well. So our husband is to have no influence, no authority?
Authority? No, to be sure. If you wanted authority over me, you should have adopted me, not married me. I am sure you were old enough. What? What's wrong now?
Does Sheridan say how old they are?
Oh, here it is. Act 1, Scene 2, the opening. When an old bachelor marries a young wife, what is he to expect?
What? I wonder if we should look at something else first.
Why? We wanted something with artifice. School for Scandal's the best comedy of manners in English.
Perhaps we should look at something contemporary until we make up our minds about props. Shall we take a break?
Yes, I'll make some tea. Where is it?
Where it always was. Help yourself to biscuits.
No biscuits, thanks. What are they?
Have a look. Red tin.
Good Lord. Fancy you keeping this. It must be 20 years old.
Is it?
Easily.
There's water in the kettle.
Right. When it comes to contemporary, all these men... I'd like to redress the balance a bit. Include some female writers.
Certainly. Who?
Huh.
No. There's Carol Churchill. Timberlake, what's the thinger?
Burton Baker.
Bless you.
Would you like to hear a list of contemporary male dramatists who've been put on at the National?
Not necessary. Perhaps the women...
What? Aren't good enough. Are more suited to the novel.
You're getting political, Sheila.
What does that mean? Political. I just want things to be fair.
Who doesn't?
Then why aren't things fair?
Shall we look at the other...
Let me brew first.
I'm quite tempted by a new writer.
Go on. A man, I take it?
A young man. Lot of promise.
Name?
Plackett. Ronnie Plackett.
Doesn't exactly have a ring to it, does it? How do you know about him? What's he done?
He's been at the Donmar warehouse... His first play was at the King's Head.
How old is he?
23.
It's not fair.
It's perfectly fair. We were 23 once.
But we didn't have those opportunities.
Perhaps we didn't take them.
No, we didn't have them. Our first few years were hell.
Have it your way.
Why should I break the habit of a lifetime? What are his plays like? Plackett.
Committed. Fresh. Exciting.
I hate him already.
Why should you? You're not a writer.
I hate him vicariously.
It's because he's young.
Yes, that too. Oh, why have I become so awful?
Practice?
Have a biscuit.
Oh, all right. Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What? Jealous Oberon? Fear is skip hence. I have forsworn his bed and company. Do you think that might get a laugh?
Why should it?
Among the people who know us, you know.
Not if we get the timing right. Tarry, rash wanton. Am not I thy lord?
There again, you see.
Well, if it did get a laugh, it wouldn't be like getting one in the middle of King Lear, would it?
I'm getting nervous. I'm afraid we're going to be thought pretentious, picking all these plum rolls and strutting about. People could talk behind our backs. Pity us.
If it would help you to relax, we could find something that, well, forestalls any criticism of that kind. Laugh at ourselves first. Pick one piece that makes it clear that we're ahead of the debunkers.
What could it possibly be?
On the spot, I can't think, but there's sure to be something.
Simon and Laura.
Eh?
Simon and Laura. Wasn't that about a couple of actors who took themselves too seriously? They row a great deal, I think, yes. Perhaps that would do. If it's not out of print, we'll get hold of that.
I know the one. The old movie was shown on television last year. Kay Kendall played the actress.
I thought you'd remember her. She was tall and slim.
Don't tell me you're jealous of the dead, Sheila.
I'm not jealous at all.
You're insanely jealous. It was the main reason we...
Parted? I think not. I do not think my jealousy, my hypothetical, mythical jealousy, was the main reason we parted, if you cast your mind back, Henry.
Why don't you call me Harry like everyone else?
Because I'm not everyone else. Stick to the point.
No, we're here to work. We swore off anything personal at the start.
So why accuse me of being insanely jealous? That's not personal. Insane. Jealous.
Sheena, are you coping with the menopause?
What did you say?
Even for you, you seem extraordinarily touchy, not to say tetchy.
If you must know, I've had a slight hormonal imbalance. Nothing to speak of.
I thought there was something.
I said it was nothing to speak of, so don't speak of it.
Have you tried the therapy?
Didn't suit. But mind your own business.
Was it the pills you were on? I only ask because you can have a patch on your bum instead.
What is all this? Since when were you the expert? Have you been cohabiting with a menopausal woman?
Yes, she was a tall, slim blonde. Grow up, Sheila.
I have. That's the problem. Only it isn't a problem. Not yours, anyway. I'm no longer your concern, thank you very much. Perhaps we should get back to business.
It isn't going to be any use, you see, if it affects your work.
Has your paunch affected your work? Has your thinning hair?
These are external things. Hormone imbalance affects the brain. I haven't got a paunch.
Of course, you could play Sir John Falstaff, or even Humpty Dumpty.
You're a little old for Alice in Wonderland.
But not for the Red Queen. Off with his head!
You know, that's an idea. We should include a scene from a work for children. That would be fun. That couldn't be construed as being pretentious. Disarming, rather. What about Wind in the Willows? Ratty and Mole.
Toad for you, I think. Rather more appropriate. No, it isn't, is it? You were never an exuberant, conceited loudmouth. That was me.
Rubbish.
Shall we get on?
Yeah. Come. Let us have a cosy little chat, Mrs. Hedder.
Does it not seem like a whole eternity since our last talk? Of course, I don't count those few words yesterday evening and this morning.
You mean since our last confidential talk? Our last tête-à-tête?
Well, yes. Since you put it so.
Not a day has passed, but I wish that you were home again.
And I have done nothing but wish the same thing. Hedda's only 29. If I can't play Lady Teasel, then I can't play Hedda. Besides, we were doing the dream. How do we jump from the dream to this?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I can't see what you see in Plackett.
Really, I think he jumps off the page.
Since we've got Shakespeare, Sheridan and Ibsen, with an option on Kenneth Graham, I do think our next choice should be a woman.
Who in particular?
I'm in the middle of reading a new woman, Louise Fielding. She's a distinct possibility. Oh, what about the constant nymph, Margaret Kennedy?
Isn't that Bright Young Things, Flappers? It's hardly recent.
Neither is Priestley.
Well, we haven't settled for Priestley, though I do fancy When We Are Married. Nobody, of course, would suggest Priestley was a woman.
We were in a Priestley together once. Time in the Conways, remember?
We were?
The season we met. I find your memory lapse very revealing.
You know that, dialogue apart, I have a memory like a sieve.
Yes, and like a sieve, some things are retained, others allowed to slip through.
I miss you, Sheila.
I'm here.
You know what I mean.
Do I?
I think we were meant for each other.
Then why didn't it last?
It's a business. You know what it's like.
I can just remember, yes. Other marriages in the business last.
But how many? The separations, the working hours, the competition.
The younger women, so many of them tall and slim and blonde.
So few, if recollection serves me.
Anyhow, made for each other, my Aunt Fanny. You couldn't wait to pack your bag.
It was you who left.
And you who packed the bag.
You asked for it. You were driving me to distraction. If it weren't so long ago, I believe the damned hormones were getting to you then.
5 years. It's been 5 years.
A lifetime.
Hardly.
When our paths crossed again, it seemed heaven sent. A second chance. How many people get one?
For somebody who was going to keep off personal matters, you're certainly making a pig's ear of it. Let's work together, you said. Strictly professional, you promised. A shot in the arm for our careers. Oh, why did I listen?
Why did you listen, Sheila?
I'd forgotten. In 5 years, I'd forgotten that you can look at me like a doting spaniel and lie through your capped front teeth. I'd forgotten what a very good actor you are, both on stage and off.
You think so?
You're prepared to overlook my accusation of lying because the compliment about your acting is irresistible to you. What pathetic creatures we are.
Not pathetic, vulnerable, sensitive. My teeth are not capped.
This isn't getting the work done.
I'm not very happy. Are you happy?
No.
My fault, is it?
I'm not saying it's your fault.
But...
Come on, I don't want a row.
Who's starting a row?
I can't even talk to you without your shouting at me because...
Who's shouting?
What happened?
What?
What happened then?
Nothing. What do you mean? We were just having...
What? What were we doing?
Arguing. Don't see what...
We were speaking dialogue. I said this isn't getting the work done, and you went straight into speaking dialogue.
Well, you picked up on it.
Are we going mad?
I'm probably just a bit sated with all this stuff.
It's Churchill, 3 More Sleepless Nights, a play about couples, about how hard it is to change. Look, here it is. I brought it in last time. You've read it, then?
I may have glanced at it.
Glanced? We were word for word. Look. Here. It's extraordinary.
You see, osmosis, no less. And a woman writer.
Of course, she's one of the few exceptions. Mainstream now, as well as fringe. But men still hold sway.
Well, we'll do the Churchill, if we can get permission.
Instead of Plackett?
Plackett deserves an airing.
What is it with you and him?
What do you mean?
I've never heard you so vociferous on any writer's behalf. This programme is for our benefit. How well do you know this Plackett?
It's for our benefit, yet you want to make sure we represent women writers. Women writers are okay. A young male writer recommended by me, out of the question.
Who is he? Where is he? How did you meet?
I see. So your jealousy has now moved into a new area. I'm homosexual now, am I?
Are you?
You know I'm not.
I know less and less about you.
This isn't going to work, is it?
Why not?
Because we're not sticking to the arrangement. We've met every day for a week and we've settled nothing.
Perhaps we need a director. An arbiter. Would you like to invite Ronnie?
Goodbye, Sheila. There's the door. On your bike. You're not going?
Look, we have to agree, don't we? Both have to like a selection if it's to be included. There's so much choice. Why waste time on borderline cases?
Calling Ron a borderline case is like calling a young Pinter borderline.
Ron?
Well, do we call it a day?
Dodie Smith.
Huh?
Call it a day. Another play from one of a very few women writers in my student days.
Oh, yes, right. Hasn't she been having a revival?
A revival, yes.
It's a good word. Shall we have one?
Huh?
A revival.
It would need to be a complete resuscitation.
5 years is hardly...
You said it a lifetime.
It seems like that, yes, but it isn't.
It was a lifetime before, when we were staying together for the children.
We stayed together for ourselves.
But didn't we always say that broken marriages with children...
Were a bad thing, yes. We were theorising. We never seriously contemplated splitting up.
And nevertheless, we were glad they'd grown up and gone when we did.
How often do you hear from
them? Regularly. Phone calls every week, letters, postcards. You?
Something like that.
We wanted them to have independence, do well in their line of work.
And they do. They did.
Sometimes I could have wished it wasn't on the other side of the world.
That may not be forever. Short-term contracts. And Tim's not so far.
Far enough.
It's a lonely life.
Lonely? You?
Sometimes.
What happened to all your mates?
I thought you said I didn't have any friends.
Well, don't call boozing companions friends. Lascivious Lenny, Charlie, that lot.
Married again.
What? Hmm? Lenny?
Young girl. She takes him clubbing every night. He's worn out.
Very nice. I like it.
And Charlie's gone up market. He lives inside a Sunday supplement. A self-imposed ghetto of the intellectually acceptable. He's scarcely recognisable. Neither of them has any time.
And you? Too much?
None of us has too much time. The irony is that it weighs so heavily on our hands.
Have you changed, Henry?
Maybe.
What does that mean?
I hope I've changed where it matters. If you don't live and learn, what's the point? In some ways, I haven't changed. I still love you. I always did.
You don't pack the bags of somebody you love.
You don't hold on to somebody you love when they want out.
I didn't want out. You drove me out.
So you say.
We argued all the time. You tried to tell me what to do.
There's a coincidence.
You told me just now to get on my bike.
I thought you'd had enough again.
I don't believe you brought me here to work at all. What was your motive? Be honest. What was your real motive?
I won't deny that I wanted to be with you. I wanted your company.
And it's not some last-ditch attempt.
Won't that be so terrible? Come back to me, Sheila.
Why? Because you're lonely.
We're older now. We need each other.
So it's pity, then, not love.
I told you, I do love you.
Don't. I can't bear to hear it. Don't make me listen to those words. Think about them, even. Don't make me start to feel again.
Sheila, love.
And don't touch me.
When did things begin to go downhill, would you say? For both of us, professionally speaking. I mean, you said 10 years ago, directors used to beat a path to your door. But it wasn't 10 years, was it? It was a shorter time than that.
What are you getting at?
It was about 5 years ago, I'd say, when the work started to thin out.
You mean it was about the time...
We parted, yes.
Coincidence. If you're right, it was pure Wait a minute. Is this bringing us together some superstitious nonsense? An attempt to
recreate... Perhaps we were lucky for each other.
We hardly ever worked together. 3, perhaps 4 times.
There was something about us. You said we have no buzz, no charisma as a couple. We had then. We took pleasure in our work. We had optimism. It makes a statement, that kind of thing. It says, here are two people who have an aura of success. Whereas...
Separation says pessimism, depression, failure.
We didn't divorce.
Church doctrine.
Have you been to church in 5 years?
Mind your own. I drop in sometimes. Light a candle.
Yes, I thought you might.
We always said that if we wanted to remarry, we'd ignore...
We said that. Have you honestly, hand on heart, been tempted?
To marry again? No way.
And nor have I.
That says something about wanting to avoid making the same mistake twice. Our determination to avoid the marriage state. Not our failure to get over each other.
Let's make the same mistake again. Come and share my red biscuit tin.
Your red biscuit tin.
You didn't want it. You said you didn't want anything we'd had together. Shabby, you called this place when I offered to be the one to move out.
I wanted a fresh start. Independence. New flat, new area, new lifestyle.
And you're managing to run it still, financially? Rents are so high.
I'm managing.
No divorce, no maintenance.
I wouldn't apply for maintenance. You can barely maintain yourself.
I've never got over you, Sheila.
I'm not listening.
We'll do the programme and then we'll announce our getting back together again.
As an experiment to see if we're offered work? Pathetic.
As a public commitment to a private intent.
You're crazy. I said so when you suggested...
Yet you came.
I wanted to work.
And so did I. Just think, if the show got on the road, the kids might fly over. Lizzie always wanted us to work together again.
Oh, we're moving into the West End now, are we? Talk sense. We couldn't ask them to come all this way for the fringe of the fringe.
Some very big things have started small.
I'm tired. We've been sitting here all afternoon discussing the past. I'm going home.
We haven't...
settled anything, no.
You'll come back tomorrow.
I have something on tomorrow. I'm seeing a friend.
Anybody I know?
No.
Monday.
I'll have to think about it. I'll give you a call.
Don't ring me. I'll ring you. Have you heard from your agent lately?
Goodbye, Henry.
I'll be here Monday. I'll stay in all day.
I shouldn't. Bye.
Sheila! Didn't you hear me? I've been chasing you since you came through the park gate.
Really?
You didn't call. I stayed in.
How tedious for you.
I've got some good news.
Congratulations. Work, is it?
I telephoned Tim.
Oh? He'll be ringing me tonight.
He's coming.
What?
I told him about our plan, and he was wildly enthusiastic.
You did what?
The program, our working together, nothing more. He was thrilled. Says he'll cancel everything to get over for the performance.
How dare you?
Of course, this is too far. But if the thing's a success...
Emotional blackmail.
Nonsense.
Have you been following me? Have you been dogging my footsteps around London?
No.
You know I like the park.
It's a free country. I like the park.
I walk here regularly, and I haven't seen you in 5 years.
I couldn't face the memories. You haven't forgotten our first open-air season.
I've forgotten nothing, unlike some people I could mention.
I've drafted out a program based on the things we tried. It's beginning to shape up well.
Go away, Henry.
Do you remember the roses? Every time we arrived here, the scent of roses wafted on the summer air. It was so romantic. You look beautiful in your costume. Breathtaking.
What was the play?
Well,
what was it?
Which season are we talking about?
You're pathetic.
You always looked beautiful in those days, whatever you were playing.
Oh, how kind.
Still, you're beautiful still, of course.
Jennifer Twynham.
Sorry?
You heard.
I'm just not with you.
You weren't with me in 1992 when I was in Bristol.
And
Jennifer Twynham. As I recall, tall, blonde, aristocratic, the brain of a peahen.
No, I can't bring to mind. Shall we walk on?
Yes, by all means, walk on, Henry. There was a Freudian slip. Wasn't that the extent of Jennifer's vocabulary? Walk on!
Good God, you can't mean whom I think you mean.
All coming back to you, is it?
The girl in the farce.
You never spoke a truer word.
I was 6 weeks...
taking off your trousers every night.
On stage, yes, in front of hundreds of people. Not one of my more intelligent career moves, I admit, but Jennifer Twynham. By no stretch of the imagination could you possibly think...
tall, slim and blonde, and all over you.
On stage, perhaps. Very bony woman, as I recall.
Oh, is that why you were massaging her muscles so thoroughly after the matinee performances? Attempting to give her some body...
You've accused me of some weird things in the past, but this... who put such a bizarre idea into your head?
I have friends. I had friends in that company.
Some friends?
You mean they should have spared my feelings, not told me?
There was nothing to tell.
I'm not a fool, remember that.
Jealousy is a curse. You can make something out of nothing. Some old bat has seen me brewing a cup of tea in a dressing room for a harmless young woman, and you've been simmering over it for all this time, suspecting the worst. I missed you when you were in Bristol. I was faithful to you. Were you faithful to me?
How dare you? You keep your voice
down.
There's
nobody here but us. It's perishing. Let's go home.
Home?
I wish you'd come out with it years ago, this thing with Jennifer What's-her-name. I'd have reassured you then.
You haven't reassured me now.
I'm beginning to see this as a compliment. You wouldn't be so jealous if you didn't love me.
That is it!
Oh, Sheila, come back! Sheila!
The furniture's mine and paid for. The mortgage on the house is yours and 18 months in arrears. I don't want there to be any confusion. What will you do in Norwich? Is there a repertory company there you could join?
I have no intention of going into repertory. What do you think these are?
Plays, I suppose. Very bad plays, I suppose. But don't worry, Simon, because you won't be in them. Not because you're not good enough, but because you're now being offered smaller parts than you ever had before. And you're too pig-headed to realize that the skids are well and truly under you.
Thanks very much. Charming. And no thanks.
What?
We can't do this.
Too near the truth?
Not at all. Simon and Laura are nothing like us. Well, Simon's nothing like me.
Fancy.
Laura's jealousy, on the other hand...
Stop right there.
Hey?
I said that if I stepped back inside this flat, it would be on the absolute condition that the word jealousy was never, ever mentioned again.
I forgot.
Amnesia is a serious condition. You should have it treated. It's plagued you all our married life, and now it's become acute.
Like your...
Yes?
Nothing.
Get this straight, Henry. If you hadn't told Tim and Lizzie, there is no way on earth you'd have got me to continue with this charade.
They're so pleased.
If we ever get the programme together, and if it sees the light of day, I go as far as that and no further. Understand? I do the show smiling brightly throughout, and then...
On your bike?
An aeroplane, more like, to some exotic destination, solo.
You can afford that, can you?
Mind your own business.
Well, we'll see.
You smug!
Did you inquire about the patch? The hormones? The patch on your...
That will be the last personal remark that passes between us, thank you very much. Now, Simon and Laura. Witty, amusing, well put together. Though perhaps somewhat dated in its blithe assumptions. Some of the references might be considered unfortunate today, and Simon and Laura's continual backbiting is just a little improbable. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
If you don't want to do the scene we've already tried, I'm sure we could find another less hurtful to your vanity.
That's not personal?
There's one a bit further on.
They get together again in the end.
Yes, I have read the play. What's your point?
Happy endings.
Shall we set this aside for the moment and turn to something safe? Antony and Cleopatra?
Oh, I like your definition of safe.
Stop messing about. Where's your script?
You've got it. I'll have to use the complete works.
Have you got the page?
I'll get it photocopied for next time.
I should hope so. Here, take mine. Give that to me.
It's on page 1080.
I got it. Thank you very much. Oh, my lord, forgive my fearful sales. I little thought you would have followed.
What about?
Oh, don't tell me you can't find it in there now.
Egypt, thou knewest too well my heart was to thy rudder tied by the strings, and thou shouldst tow me after. All my spirit, thy full supremacy thou knewest, and that thy beck might from the bidding of the gods command me.
Oh, my pardon.
This is lovely stuff.
Yes, Shakespeare is generally considered quite good. Get on, eh?
You did know how much you were my conqueror, and that my sword, made weak by my affection, would obey it on all cause.
You've cut.
Sorry? Sorry.
What's the matter?
I was remembering.
What?
You did, too.
What?
Know how much you were my conqueror.
That was a long time ago.
30 years.
Almost.
We can't turn our backs on 30 years.
If we don't get on, we'll never have this programme ready.
There was never anybody for me but you.
I wish I could believe you.
You knew it once.
Then why did it all go wrong?
Tell me.
Two raging egos, not compatible.
Very much alike, I'd say.
Pardon, pardon.
It's not entirely your fault, I know that.
I'm reading the script, you fool. Page 1080. I will not be sidetracked. Pardon, pardon.
Fall not a tear, I say. One of them rates all that is won and lost. Give me a kiss. Even this repays me. Do I kiss you here? What do you think?
That really would bring the house down.
Let's see how it feels, shall we?
Don't.
Well?
It would look stupid with books in her hands.
Let's put them down.
How can we?
It's the end of the scene. Look, simple. Now, give me the complete works.
What?
The complete works of William Shakespeare. Give it to me.
Henry.
There. Now, what's stopping us?
I'm sure it's not something we need to rehearse.
Practice makes perfect.
You don't say.
I do. Now, there's a phrase with a familiar ring.
What is?
I do. Will you take this man, etc.?
Marriage vows?
For better, for worse.
Convenient, that.
Sensible. Kiss me, Cleopatra.
Sod off, Antony.
I see it all now. What a pig I've been. A pig, that's me. A plain pig.
Wherever are you going to, Ratty?
We're going to find that home of yours, old fellow. So you'd better come along, for it will take some finding, and we shall want your nose.
Oh, come back, Ratty, do. It's no good, I tell you. It's too late and too dark, and the place is too far off, and the snow's coming, and...
And I never meant to let you know I was feeling that way about it. It was all an accident and a mistake. And think of Riverbank and your supper.
Hang Riverbank and supper, too. I tell you, I'm going to find this place now if I stay out all night. So cheer up, old chap, and take my arm, and we'll very soon be back there again.
I like this one best of all. I must be entering my second childhood.
Welcome home.
Which home are we talking about?
Your place or mine? You choose. Of course, since we lived here so long together, this seems the obvious place.
I'm not coming back, Henry.
Oh, you look like little Molly scrabbling about in the kitchen. This is where you belong, all right.
Have you seen my flat?
From the outside, yes. Too stark, too clean, too tidy. Giving your notice.
Certainly not.
Why pay rent into somebody else's coffers?
I told you, independent.
Two can live as cheaply as one. In this case, more cheaply.
So, first I'm to come back for the sake of our careers, then because we're getting old, and now to save you money.
To save you money? I don't pay your rent.
No, you don't. So nose out, if you don't mind. Shall we proceed with Wind in the Willows?
Here you are.
I know it's a shabby, dingy little place, not like your cosy quarters, or Toad's beautiful hall, or Badger's great house. But it was my own little home, and I was fond of it, and I went away and forgot all about it. This isn't it. You've given me the wrong bit. You've deliberately given me the wrong piece. This is earlier, Moley crying for his old... Oh, you are a cad.
Oh, what a gloriously old-fashioned word, a cad. I like a cad. Aren't you homesick, Moley?
If you're so keen on our getting back together again for love, you come and live with me. Sell this tired old place. Move into something that's easy to clean and keep up with.
Are you serious?
No.
I believe you are. I believe you are serious. Oh, Sheila.
Keep your distance. I'm staying put.
I'll come and look at it. I'll come and look at your flat tonight.
I don't think so.
Please.
According to the timing, we've at least three more scenes to select. Shall we get on?
I'll walk you home.
Training for the marathon, are we?
We'll go in a cab and I'll walk back, unless you invite me to stay the night.
I found a printer who can do the invitations cheaply. He does a professional job without robbing his customers.
Sheila.
Concentrate. 40, did we say? I don't see how we'll seat any more.
Well, I've been wondering about the room over the pub. It's sometimes used for gigs, and one night shouldn't cost us an arm and a leg. Sheila...
But then it would be more humiliating if nobody came. It would be public.
Easier to drown our sorrows right above the bar. Look, we mustn't talk like this. People will come. I haven't lost my contacts, far from it.
I've been offered a book at bedtime.
What?
Uh-huh. Who's jealous now?
Oh, I'm delighted for you. Delighted. What is it? Who's producing? When?
Don't worry, it won't interfere with this.
Oh, that is good news. I was asked to do a telly last week.
Wonderful. And?
Not a good career move. I agonized and then refused.
You turned down work.
It was too small, insignificant. People remember what you've done in this business. Don't risk it.
Whatever was it? A bog paper commercial?
No, that would have status. And money. Now, you've changed the subject again. Come home, Sheila.
Definitely not now you're turning down work. I can't afford to support you.
This show of ours is going to turn the tide. I feel it in my bones. I'm incredibly optimistic suddenly. Our star's on the rise again.
If I'm any judge of character, Simon...
Who? Oh, I see. Back to work, is it? But we were doing Wind in the Willows. You said it was your favourite.
And you took advantage of that. I'm giving sentiment a rest for the moment.
So it's back to Simon and Laura and the comfortable fossilised past.
Well, here you are. Page 29. I'm certainly not going to go on allowing everyone to know that you only to turn up and switch on the charm and say you're sorry to be welcomed back into the fold. I don't like appearing the laughing stock when it's you who are making a fool of yourself. I'd like you back in the fold, Simon. Nothing better. But permanently and on my terms. And as that isn't likely to happen, let's just forget there ever was such a thing as a fold, shall we?
If you're squeamish about our friends laughing at the parallels with our real life in the dream, I'd have thought you'd have avoided this one like the plague.
So you admit the parallels. Earlier you said you were nothing like Simon.
Certainly not. But I know parallels are there in your mind, and in your present condition you're getting fraught about them. Besides, we can't have two scenes from the same play.
My present... Will you kindly... kindly leave my hormones out of this.
Seriously, Sheila, you should get help. Look at you. You're all pink and flustered. Hot flushes?
Raging fury. I'm so glad you decided to be rude to me again. I'd almost begun to weaken. I'd started to think that perhaps you had changed for the better.
I care about you, don't you see? Your well-being is important to me.
You don't want me to look hot and flustered on stage beside you. You don't want people to look at me and think, my God, she's past it.
Paranoid.
And if I am, who made me paranoid?
Did you mean it? You almost began to think that you would come back to me.
I'll settle for one, Simon and Laura. Then it's a toss-up between this new woman and Plackett. I vote for the new woman because she's as good as Plackett, and I think she's better.
You almost began to
Louise think... Fielding, remember? You said yourself you liked her play. It's authenticity, etc.
No, but not as much as Ron Plackett's.
You win some, you lose some.
He'll think I'm a two-faced... I made a fuss of his work, and now I'm putting on a two-hander with all these selections, and I'm leaving him out.
The operative words are two-hander. Tell Ronnie your partner won the toss.
He didn't have a toss. Let's have a toss.
I'll ignore that. Let's settle for Louise.
This is becoming such an issue.
Isn't it?
We're supposed to be impartial. We're accusing people in the business of neglect. You're saying women haven't been given the space. And now, when we have the chance to be fair ourselves and choose on merit, we're mucking everything up with feelings.
This is such a subjective business.
It shouldn't be, though, should it? Not entirely.
No. It's a cop-out.
Anybody worth his salt in any area of the arts should have a degree of objectivity.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm very grateful to the Catholic Church.
What?
The Church. I'm grateful to it.
What brought that into your head suddenly?
It's never far out.
You still go?
Not very often.
Pop in when it's empty, light the occasional candle.
Right.
So, grateful. Why?
You know why.
Tell me.
No divorce. Have you considered, Sheila, that all those rules that used to dog us...
Like?
Contraception, for one.
Careful.
Well, let's just say it might be easier now.
There are other rules, Henry. Rules about truthfulness. Rules against adultery, to name but two.
Those two.
Oh, easier now you have the bald spot, the middle age spread. Easier not to commit adultery, and therefore easier to tell the truth.
I'm not playing this game anymore.
Who's playing?
We shall be in 2 weeks' time. 30 invites have been accepted. Shall we get this programme in the can?
It's asking a lot.
Yes.
Perhaps.
What is it?
If we left out some of the stuff from the past... I mean the run-of-the-mill stuff, not the best bits. We could put in both of the new ones. Plackett and...
Louise?
What do you think?
I think I love you.
Well, we'll see. To work then, shall we?
Oh, yes, Sheila. Oh, yes, love. Please.
In Encore by Nan Woodhouse, Sheila was played by Julia McKenzie and Henry by Timothy West. The play was directed by Tracy Neal.